And the stewardship of the mind and what that all involves, what that entails. Mind your mind. And so let's get into this, but let's start with a word of prayer. Let's open it with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, your word. Thank you that it reveals truth to us. Thank you that you are the truth. And thank you that you reveal that truth through your Holy Spirit and teach us. So God, we thank you for that. And this morning, we pray that you would teach us again. Teach us again to be stewards of our mind and what that looks like and what that means in our everyday life. So Father, teach us. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So just by way of review, just a brief review of what biblical stewardship is, what it looks like. Biblical stewardship expresses our obedience regarding the management of everything that God has placed under our care. What is it that he has placed in our care and has placed the responsibility on us to be good stewards of, to be managers of? What is it that he has placed? Everything. Absolutely everything. We don't own anything. He has placed everything into our care to use to bring glory and to bring honor to God, to himself. The worldview is, of course, different. It is that everything is mine. Kids learn that very quickly. One of their first words, maybe even before mom or dad sometimes, is mine. That's mine, mine. Give me, that's mine. But it's not true. It's not biblical. God has given us the responsibility to manage absolutely everything. We don't even own the breath that we breathe. It's not ours. Because it is breath that gives us life, and how we utilize that life will either bring glory to God or dishonor God. We are stewards of our lives. We are stewards of our mind. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains," all of us, "the world and those who indwell it," all of us. Everything means my energy, my time, my spiritual gifts, my body, how I use my body. Our bodies are, in fact, the very temple of God. The very God himself indwells this physical body in the person of the Holy Spirit. And yes, our money. And our children, we are in fact stewards of our children. They are gifts to us. How we teach them, what we teach them matters. We are stewards of them. Doesn't that change how you view parenting? This is a gift from God. God has given them to me. Now how will I parent them? Will I parent them and teach them the things of the Lord, or will I not? What brings glory to God? What honors God? What dishonors God in parenting? In stewardship, we most often think of money and then only the portion, of course, that we tithe. It's only a small portion. This is what I give to God. That's what I'm a steward of. No. It's everything. It includes all of our time, not just our time here Sunday morning. It includes what we think, what we put into our minds, not just here on Sunday morning, but all of the time. How do we manage it? How do we manage every minute of the day? I was reading a book not that long ago, and in it the author was talking about the whole aspect of time. And he said in there, you know, I often say, and this is true of me, I often say, I have no time. I'm so busy, I have no time. And so he said, I began to evaluate, take account of how I use my time. And he said, then I realized and found out that I'm wasting my time. I'm not being a good steward of my time, my energy, and my resources. He started to map out, take his day and map it out minute by minute. Well, not quite that bad. But what am I doing in these times?
Is it beneficial? Does it bring honor to God? Does it bring glory to God? And it includes every thought, everything that we put into our mind. How do we put things into our mind? By reading, by seeing, by all types of different experiences, we are inputting stuff into our minds. Are we good stewards of our mind? Am I a good steward of what goes into my mind? Do we manage everything in a way that brings glory to God? What we do with what we have been given by God has a direct impact in the right here and the right now, but for all eternity. Everything that we do right here, right now, not only impacts time, the day today. Somebody, grab that rope and head out down the hallway there. Jonathan, are you that somebody? You are somebody, so thank you. This rope that Jonathan is pulling out that way represents eternity. And he's going to go a long ways because that's over 100 feet or around a 100-foot rope. And so that is representing our life in all of eternity. But this little black piece here, this represents only our life here. So are we living life and preparing only for this? Or are we considering all of eternity? Jonathan's gone into eternity. Thanks, Jonathan. But that's how far, that's what eternity is. It's long. It goes down this hallway. This is our life. In light of eternity, how we invest in our time, what we put in our minds impacts not only this piece, this little 5-inch piece here, and it affects everything for all eternity, our life, how we spend eternity, what that eternal eternity will be like. So how we use whatever God has given us to either bring will either bring glory to his name or will either dishonor him for now and for all eternity. It includes our mind. How I use my mind either honors God or dishonors him. Either brings glory to him or not. I found it interesting that as I was looking at this topic of the mind, I figured, well, how do you define the mind? Is it just the brain? But it was quite surprising that there really is no universal definition of what the mind is. It's not simply defined as your brain. The brain is an actual organ that we can touch. The mind is much bigger than the brain. It includes our consciousness, how we perceive things, how we think, our ability to judge, differentiate, our memory. It includes our imagination and our feelings. Simply put, the mind is the part of the person that enables us to think, to feel, to reason, to remember things, and ultimately will. So that's just a brief definition, very brief definition of the mind. What is the natural state of our mind? Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We'll read Matthew 13, verses 13 to 15. Just to get a glimpse, a quick look at the aspect of the natural state of our mind. And of course, this is the natural state of our mind when we are born. Because we are born into sin since the fall of man. But this is what it says in Matthew 13, 13 to 15. Therefore, I speak, Jesus speaking, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but not perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, and otherwise they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. See, this is also inclusive of that definition of the mind, things that come into our mind, what we hear, how we understand things, that is all part of the mind. This passage speaks to how we become to understand and perceive things. It describes man's initial state as blind. They have eyes and can see, but they don't really see. They don't really understand. They're not understanding the condition that they're in, the sinful condition. They are deaf. They have ears and can hear, but they don't really hear. They're not hearing because they're not obeying. And because of this, they have insensitive hearts. They are unfeeling and beyond moving them to a different course of action. That's the mind, the original state or condition of the mind before salvation. Let me try and illustrate a little bit of this whole blind, deaf aspect. Maybe you've heard of the movie called The Miracle Worker. It's based on Helen Keller, the story of Helen Keller. And when Helen Keller was born, she was able to hear and to see. However, at 19 months old, she contracted an illness that left her blind and deaf. Helen Keller, of course, was deprived of sight and sound and was left in almost complete isolation with herself to live with only her thoughts. And how do you even know what those thoughts are? Because you can't comprehend. You haven't been taught. Can you imagine this world? She was living in her own self-referential world. So she had nothing to base it on. She had nothing to base. If she grabbed a phone, she would have nothing to base it on in her head that told her this was a phone. She was blind and she was deaf. She couldn't conceive that. She could only refer to what was in her mind and what she understood. And how could she understand things other than the brief 19 months that she spent being able to see and hear? You couldn't tell her that God loves you because she couldn't hear. No one could make her see a warm smile. She couldn't hear the affirming words. Helen, it's going to be okay. Can you imagine not being able to comfort your child and say, Helen, it's going to be okay in her dark, solitary world? Helen is portrayed in this movie as being very unhappy, angry. Her behavior is uncontrollable. It's erratic. It's animal-like. And I think on some level, or you know, at some level, we can at least understand her anger, her uncontrollable behavior in her isolated, dark, quiet world. She was left to stumble around in her dark, quiet world in quiet isolation. She was like, it was a condition of hopelessness, of helplessness. And she was unable to do anything about the condition that she was in. She couldn't do anything about it. She continued day in, day out, stumbling around until one day Ann Sullivan, a lady by the name of Ann Sullivan, called the miracle worker, found a way to communicate with her and break through into her dark world. And this illustrates the condition that all of mankind is born into because of the fall of man. We're in that same isolation, separated from God, unable to do anything about the condition that we're in. We see, when I look at Ann Keller, I see this person, my heart breaks. When you watch this movie, my heart breaks because she was so alone. She was like an animal flailing around out of control. That's how mankind was prior to salvation, flailing around in the world, lost in darkness. That's how we were in our spiritual condition. We were blind, we were deaf. The Bible tells us, although we have ears, we couldn't hear, we couldn't see. We were spiritually deaf, spiritually blind. We're living our lives in the same condition that Helen Keller was, flailing around in the darkness. And in our minds, they go to very dark places and become uncontrollable, unfeeling, insensitive for anything around us. Seeing but not seeing, hearing but not hearing, describing the condition of our natural minds in a very dark state. Romans 1:21 speaks to that condition. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That is who we were. That is the natural state of the mind that we were born with. This was a huge transformation that took place in the life of Helen Keller. Can you imagine the transformation that would have taken place at this time? Can you imagine suddenly as Ann Sullivan started to spell things in her hand and started to correlate that with something, a tangible item? She began to understand, and the transformation that took place. This girl that had no joy in her life suddenly had joy in her life, had meaning in her life. There was hope. And that's the condition that man was in. That's the condition that man was in. The great transformation that happens to people is when they come humbly by repentance and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Then their spiritual eyes are open, their spiritual ears are open, and they can hear and they can understand. You can experience real joy, experience real peace, no longer blind, flailing around, headed for an eternity in a lake of fire. Now, although Ann Sullivan did a very good thing, and it's called a miracle worker, she did a great work, but I will tell you that Jesus Christ is by far more superior, a miraculous Savior. He is the one that through his great sacrifice on the cross provides that hope for all of mankind. And we simply come humbly by repentance and faith. We have the joy of the Lord, peace that passes all understanding, hope, not hopelessness. And it's the Holy Spirit wrought transformation in our lives. Romans 6:6 talks about a little bit about that transformation in our lives, the transformation that happens when we come humbly by repentance and faith. Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Do you see the transformation that's happening there? No longer slaves to sin. No longer ruled by sin. No longer does sin have dominion over your life. Man couldn't even help but sin. But now that has changed. Galatians 2:20 in the Amplified says, "I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in and by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I live," meaning there's surrender. I surrender my life. There is a death that happened. That old self, that old sinful self is dead. He's gone. There's a transformation that happened. There is new life that is happening. Christ now lives in me and I submit to him. Galatians 5:24 in the Amplified says this, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus the Messiah have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature with its passions and appetites and desires." What an amazing transformation. Ephesians 2 verse 3 says, Among these we as well as you once lived, there's a transformation. We once lived this way and conducted ourselves in the passions of the flesh. Our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath. That's who we were. There's a transformation that's taking place. No longer children of his wrath, but heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. Our spiritual eyes have been opened to understand our new identity in Christ. Our spiritual ears were open, and we can hear and understand the good news and the truths in God's word. No longer slaves to or subject to sin, Satan, and death. No longer objects of God's wrath. That's the transformation. In view of what Christ did on the cross, in light of the unmerited gift, Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. This is speaking of the stewardship of the mind. This is speaking of the renewed mind. Our mind is the control center of everything. It's the control center of our attitudes, of our thoughts, of our feelings, and ultimately our actions. No longer slaves. We're no longer subject to the prince of this world, Satan. That old person has died, but we still struggle with that sin. And Paul talks about that sin in Romans 7, 15 to 20. He talks about that struggle. And this is very real. This is a very real struggle in our lives. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But I do the very thing I do not want to do. I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer I am the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is speaking of his flesh, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me. I want to, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want to do, and I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. You see the struggle? Do you see the battle that we're going always in constant battle with? It's there. Paul says that God wants your mind because he knows the power of the mind. He knows the struggle of the flesh. And God wants it for himself. God knows of that battle in our flesh with our sin. What we need our minds, what we feed our minds, and what we feed our minds determines our actions. It determines how we live our lives. God wants you to think his thoughts. And you do. When you do, your mind will be renewed. Renewed means... A renewed mind means, what does that mean? It means there's a renovation, complete change for the better. There's a transformation, a renewed mind, different than in the past. Upon our miraculous spiritual transformation out of our regeneration or our new birth, and as we present our bodies to God as living sacrifices, and we make choices not to be conformed to this present evil age, ungodly world, to this ungodly world, but to be transformed by God's holy word. What does it mean to be transformed by God's holy word? If we hold it up to the side of our head, we will be transformed. I think that's what I've thought a lot of times in my life. That if it sits on the corner shelf in my bedroom, it's going to transform me. Well, I must have thought that way because that's where it stayed lots of times. If the word is to transform us, if we are to be transformed by God's word,
why does it sit in our car until next Sunday?
When we make these choices to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength, the Holy Spirit transforms our mind to be able to think in an entirely new way that we could not think before we were saved. We couldn't even think that way before we saved, even if we wanted to. And as your mind is renewed, you will be able to fulfill God's will, His perfect will, His pleasing and acceptable will for your life. How do we do this? How do we do this every day? Here's an illustration. Here's a real life illustration. So if this is my mind, and I'm putting garbage into it, I'm putting all this garbage, and it doesn't matter what stuff that's in the paper, Kook keeps giving back. What does that even mean? But we're filling ourselves with this, the news, and unimportant things. Well, not that the news is unimportant, but, and we're filling our minds with some garbage, with the old things of, TV shows that are inappropriate, that show sexual misconduct, that living that isn't right, people stealing, lying, divorce, marriage outside of what God has designed. We're putting all this garbage into our minds, greed, anger, and all these different things. And we put it in our mind, and the good news is, this bag is magic. Because when we open it up from the other end, oh, weird. It's not magic. When we put garbage in, garbage comes out. What are you putting in your mind? What are we putting in our minds? Being good stewards of the mind is being very intentional of what goes in, what we see, what we hear, what we feed our minds. If we feed it garbage, the only garbage is going to come out. That's the only result. That's the only real thing that can happen. If we are feeding and exposing, seeing, hearing the world's view of love, of mercy, of grace, of sex and intimacy, we will have a world view, which in turn will be how we live. You can't live any other way. Garbage is going to come out. We can't live in a world that is selfish. What can I get out of it? The result won't be that we're loving and gracious to our neighbor. There's no way that Caitlin is going to reach out to her neighbor, those around her from different cultures. Why would she? If we're selfish. But if it's not about us, if it's not about us and we start feeding on the Word of God, and we start to realize that everything that we do, every thought that we put into our mind is to honor and glorify God, it will produce an absolute result in our lives that will change the world. What will it look like? Very simple. The fruit of the Spirit. We went through 9 weeks of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, peace. Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, generosity, self-control. That's what's going to happen. True love, that other people matter. True love, that it doesn't matter if it takes my time, if it takes my sacrifice, I will go out of my way to share my story, to share the story of the good news in the Bible with others. There will be peace in my life. There will be joy in my life. Even in the circumstances of a fallen world, there will be a sense of gentleness. We will see the other's needs because we won't be so self-centered. When we are faithful in being good stewards of our mind in the Word of God, and in the Word of God, we easily and soon recognize the benefits to our spiritual well-being. I've heard it said so many times. Oh, I know, and in my own life, I know this, that when I'm in the Word, my relationship with God is absolutely amazing. I see these truths that honor and glorify God and make me worship Him because of my position and make me want to serve Him because who He is and what He's done in my life. But man, when I get lazy, when I say, I just want some me time. I'm just going to sit in front of the television tonight because I'm tired. I just want to rest. I want to forget stuff. I just want to numb my brain. You know what happens? Nothing good. What am I watching? What goes in my mind? What goes into my mind that I'm seeing? Oh, don't be lazy. Oh, God's talking to me. Don't be lazy, Gary. Read the Word. Get in the Word. The fruit is so, so rich. Let's live lives and be good stewards of our minds, that what we put in will bring honor and glory to God by what comes out. Let's do that, church. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that we are not on our own, and thank you that you will give us the power and even the desire to live lives that are God-honoring, that will glorify you for now and for all eternity. God, would you just impress upon our hearts, would you convict us when we get lazy, when we get out of the Word, when we stop reading the Word? Help us to be faithful in your Word. And Lord, as we read and we will understand who you are, that desire will continue to come. We will desire your Word when we see the riches of your glory, the riches of your goodness to all of mankind, and that it's not about me. And even my role in this life, how do I disciple someone else? Who do I disciple? Because I'm no longer selfish, but I desire to honor and glorify you. Father, may we go out changed this morning. May we be good stewards of our mind. Thank you for our minds that you have given us. Thank you that you give the believer clarity. Thank you through your Holy Spirit that you teach us. And God, would you teach us and draw us to yourself continually. God, we thank you for all these things, and we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You are dismissed, but please take some time and say hi to Caitlin and see how you can get involved with her as well.